and just spend time together. And so it's our privilege to be here today. Social media can be a wonderful thing. It has allowed me to stay in touch with people. You see, I went to high school in Iowa, and as soon as I graduated from Iowa, my high school, my family moved to Indiana a week later. I've only been back to my hometown, what I call my hometown, once since 1989. I know that ages me. Yes, I'm in my 50s, but I've not been back in a long time. But I have a lot of friends that I still can stay in touch with through Facebook, through Instagram, through whatever you use. We can stay in touch with people even though they don't live in our area anymore. I have college friends that live around the world, some as missionaries in other countries, but we can still stay in touch with one another even though we're thousands of miles apart. I have church friends in Virginia, in Iowa, in Indiana, in Illinois, that I can stay in contact with, and it's a wonderful blessing. Social media allowed us to have church together when COVID shut everything down. I don't know about you, but as a pastor, that made life a little interesting for several months, because the way that we did everything had to change. And social media became even more important. We started having Zoom meetings. I'm so thankful I don't have to get on that stupid thing every day of the week anymore. But it's still an option for when you need it. When someone is a long ways away, you can still have a meeting. My family, my wife and I are empty nesters now. And so we would sit down in our living room and we would watch ourselves during church. That is a weird phenomenon. I don't enjoy watching myself after I've sang. I don't want to go back and say, yeah, I was sharp there, I was flat there. That's no fun, because I can nitpick myself. I'm a perfectionist. Let alone when you preach. You think, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. And you can beat yourself up a lot. But we would watch our worship together with our church family. And because there's an hour difference, we would watch our worship and then watch your worship together around pancakes and sausage. It's wonderful. Yeah. Many of you are enjoying worship today, right now, because social media is available. It's a wonderful thing. But social media can also have a very negative impact on life. It's kind of like anything else. When it gets out of proportion, it can be a problem. And so when we think about social media, one of the things that I've noticed over the last several years is that social media has a tendency to lead us to comparing. You see somebody else got a new car, or they got the bass boat that you've been dreaming about for years, or whatever it may be, and we begin comparing our life with what we see them posting on social media. Comparison will always lead you astray. Always. Because we are not comparing apples to apples. We know our real world. We know what it's like. We know our ups and downs. We know what we have and what we don't have. But when we compare our real world to their perceived world, we will always feel empty inside. They have this, and they have that, and they can afford to do this, and their kids are perfect, and all of this highlight reel that we see them post on Facebook. And then we look at our own life and we say, my life's not like that. I'm a loser. When we compare, it always leads us to a distorted view of reality. It will either make you feel better about yourself than is actually real. Oh, at least I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not involved in that junk. Oh, they don't even have two pennies to rub together. I'm better than them. You're not as good as what you're acting like you are. Or you feel worse about yourself. I don't measure up to that person and where their standard is. And it will always lead us to a distorted view of reality. Comparing leaves us wanting more. We feel like there's something missing in our lives. There's a hole that we long to fill, and we try to fill the hole with many things. Things like, if I just had that perfect job, it would answer all of my problems. Or if I had that house, or if I was driving a Tesla or whatever car it is for you, that would solve all my problems. If I had more money, if I had that perfect someone by my side, that would solve everything. I would be fulfilled. Success. If others viewed me in a positive way and I was a success in life, then I'd be satisfied. Power, popularity, let alone we get to the material things. You see, we all have a list of things that we dream about, or at least wish that we had. And there's nothing wrong with that until it gets out of proportion, and that can lead us astray. How much will be enough? A famous multi-millionaire back in the 1800s was asked, "Are you satisfied? You're the richest man in the world." He said, "Nope." I said, "What's it going to take for you to be satisfied?" He said, "One more dollar." That's the world we live in. We can be at the top echelon and still feel empty inside. How much is going to be enough? Just one more drink, another pill, another high, another party, another event, another pornographic website. How much is going to be enough for you to actually stop and analyze and make a difference? If we can just feel better, it will satisfy the craving that we feel inside. Here's the truth. It's never going to be enough. Several years ago, there was a great movie that came out, and there's a famous song that comes from that. And I've asked my favorite singer in the whole wide world to come and sing it for you today.
Trying to hold my breath, let it stay this way. Can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me, getting loud now. Can you hear it echoing? Will you share it with me? 'Cause darling, without you, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough, never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands that hold the world, but it'll never be enough, never be enough for me. Never, 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 never for me, for me. And never enough, and never enough. sky will never be enough, never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands that hold the world, but it'll never be enough, never be enough for me.
I heard you. You see, the song comes on the radio, you sing along, don't you? Thank God that song kind of replaced the let it go, let it go. Yeah, thank goodness something new came along. Why do the things that we think will satisfy us keep disappointing us? The song talks about fame and wealth and the perfect someone that promised to satisfy are never enough. Why am I always wanting something more? We try to fill a God-sized hole with other things. There's an old song that I learned growing up. It says, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. It's the truth. I've tried lots of other things, and I was always wanting more. The hole in our life is not an issue of the heart, and it's not an issue of the mind. The hole is in your soul. We are aching for God, but oftentimes don't realize it. Have you heard the song Graves into Gardens? It's one of my favorite songs, worship-wise, that we do at our church a lot. These are the words of verse 1. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. If you don't know the song, look it up. YouTube it. Do something. It's powerful. That can be about any of our testimonies. When you're telling someone else who is struggling in life and it doesn't feel like they are ever satisfied and they're wondering, how did you ever get your life together? Well, let me tell you, it wasn't always like this. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, their applause, and the treasures that you strive for, they fade and they're never enough. But then Jesus, and everything changes. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And every time I read that, it makes my mouth dry. Because I still thirst at times. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. My favorite place when I was a kid It's called Cedar Springs Wesleyan Camp. It's 10 miles away from where I grew up in Iowa. It was the family camp or the campground for the Iowa-Minnesota District of the Wesleyan Church. It's about 90 acres of wooded land with a river running through it, with a freshwater spring. My family had a mobile home out there that all year, and so we would go out during weekends and just hang out. But my favorite place at Cedar Springs Wesleyan Camp is the freshwater spring. It can be the hottest day you can imagine, and you've already drank 3 Gatorades and 4 bottles of water, and you're still thirsty. But when you dunk your head in the spring, most people use the ladle. But when you're really hot, you just kind of, right outside the box of the spring was the spring that ran down to the river, and we would just dunk our head in and start drinking. Do you know that the spring is still running today? And it's been running for hundreds of years. What did Jesus just say? The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring that never runs dry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you look to God first, he will provide everything you need. You won't have to crave after these things that you have that are actually needs, because God will provide. Don't ask me how, but God has his way of providing exactly what you need in ways that we cannot understand, but it's the truth. I can give you example after example of how Jesus can satisfy your soul and meet the needs that you have. Jeremiah 31, verse 25. I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. Is that you today? A languishing soul? Starving? Craving? And every languishing or weary soul I will replenish. God will satisfy your weary and empty soul. Philippians chapter 4 is my favorite chapter in the Bible. I won't say it's my favorite verse in the Bible, but there's about 8 sermons in Philippians chapter 4 that are very special to me. Philippians chapter 4, starting with 12, it says, I know what it is to be in need. How about you? Do you know what it is to be in need? Absolutely, we all do. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You see, we love to throw that verse around as Christians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Philippians 4:13. Many people use it as their life verse, because it means that we can be victorious. And we can. But let's not take it out of context. Put it back into place and realize that Paul is saying, I know what it is to be in need and in want, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. A secret means lots of people don't know it. You have to learn about a secret. And when you learn the secret of being content in any and every situation, then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can learn the secret of being content and satisfied in Jesus because of the work that he has done in our life. And then it promises us, right after that, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He is the one who supplies every need. You see, we have it backwards. We try to fill our own lives with things, don't we? And there's something missing. So you try to get a new job or you whatever you try to fill it with. And it still leaves you wanting more. We try a smorgasbord of options. We may find satisfaction for a short period of time. But then we get bored with it. And something else has to be new, fresh, in order to come into our lives because we want more. When nothing works, then we try Jesus. I've tried everything else. I've had wealth. I've had fame. I did really well in school. I got great scholarships and great grades and all this other stuff. I got a great job. I got a house. I got kids. I got a beautiful wife. I got the life world is mine. But something is missing. You ever felt like that? It was my junior year in college when God smacked me. He had to move past the 2x4. I used to say God would smack me upside the head with a 2x4. But then you kind of get used to a 2x4, and he goes on to the 4x4 post, and then the 6x6 post, and then he starts using metal beams and other things. But I was in college. I was a semester short of graduating with my music education degree. I could go and teach band, choir, orchestra from K through 12. Life was laid out. I was going to graduate a year early. Jennifer and I had just gotten engaged, so I was happy there. I was going to graduate from college owing $0, zero debt. I was excited about that. Life was great. We went to a spiritual emphasis week service, and the preacher was talking about how nothing seems to satisfy you. And as he was speaking, it was like God was just stomping on my toes. Because when I was 14 years old, I heard God call me to become a pastor. But my dad was a pastor. And as soon as I got home from that youth conference, where I had made decisions for God and I had committed my life to full-time Christian ministry and becoming a pastor, and I took off my bracelet and I threw it up on the stage with thousands of others in order to commit myself to that. As soon as I got home, the next day, I saw two of the trustees from the church who had cornered my father. We lived right next door. I witnessed the whole thing. And I watched them cuss him out verbally over and over, pointing their fingers and everything else because only one of the glass doors was open during the week instead of two. And at that point in my life, I said, God, I know what you called me to, but I want nothing to do with this. I won't do it. And so then I began saying, okay, I'll just serve you. I'll sing for you. I'll go to college for you. I'll get my degree for you. I'll go to church and be involved in those things, but I'm not going to be a pastor. Don't ever tell God what you won't do. That night I made the decision that I have to do what God's called me to do. Even if it's not going to be easy, and even if it means I have to add 2 years of college on in order to get all these other classes in, and even if it means that I'm probably going to have to move my family away from my parents and away from my sibling and away from other people, and I'm going to have to go into churches that I don't know anybody, and I'm going to have to go into awkward, uncomfortable situations. If this is what God has for me, then I'm not satisfied with the way I've tried to do it. I got to try God. And I did. That doesn't mean that we've always had everything that I crave. You still have cravings. But your soul is satisfied. We have unrealistic expectations of things. None of them can replace Jesus. Only Jesus can fill the Grand Canyon crater in your soul. When we try to replace Jesus with people or things, it's no wonder that we feel unsatisfied. Stopped to fill up our gas tank on the way here. That's a painful experience these days. I was warned, do it in Indiana before you cross the border because it'll be more expensive in Illinois. For the most part, that was true. I usually don't stop to fill up my tank when the needle is already on F. Right? You don't need to fill up your tank because you're already full. Many of you are saying, I want more of God in my life. At least I hope that's what you're saying. Here's my question. Is there any room? If life is already full, you're going to have to get rid of some stuff to make room for God. And everyone got quiet. I know. Your soul is craving for more of God, but you're saying, I don't know what I can sacrifice for 15 minutes in order to read God's word every day. I don't know what I could sacrifice in order to go on a missions trip for a week in order to help someone else that I don't even know. How am I going to be able to go to the Bible study on Wednesday night? I got other things that I got to do. I got to go play poker with the guys. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. And I remember the day that God told me, I'm ready to fill you. But sometimes you have to empty yourself in order to be filled. It's just the truth. Are you to the point that you're tired enough of needing more that you're ready to make a change? You've tried to fill your life with lots of stuff that always left you wanting more. Be filled with God and never thirst again. Psalm chapter 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? There's the question. When can I go and meet with God? Make some of these changes. Make some of these decisions. Get things right with my soul, so that my heart and my mind and my soul can be satisfied. I have great news for you. I actually know the answer to David's question. When can I go and meet with God? The answer is any time. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if God is beside you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, etc., when can you meet with God? It's not about God. God's already there. The question is, when am I going to stop ignoring God's presence and meet with Him? That's the question. It's not about God doing his part for the meeting. It's about me doing my part for the meeting. Take out your calendar. Take out your agenda. Write some God times in. I can't do things at 10:30 on Sunday morning anymore. I'm booked. 52 weeks a year, I'm booked. For an hour to an hour and 10 minutes, that's God time. Start there. Today is the day. Most of you have met God. Do you have enough of Him? Never enough? There's never enough of God. And all of everything else will leave you saying, I don't have enough. So I'm going to ask Peg to come and play. I'm just going to open up the altars today. God is waiting and ready to meet you to fill and satisfy the cravings of your soul. If you know this hymn, it says, "Fill me now. Fill me now, Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with your hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now." God, we come to you today realizing that we have been trying to do things backwards. And we would admit today that there is some emptying that needs to take place in our lives so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I pray that right now that you would mingle among us, that you would get our attention, push us out of our seat, and help us to make the decisions that are best for us and pleasing to you. Father, we are grateful for the work that you do in our lives. So many times we try to do the work ourselves and we make a mess out of things. But we are grateful that your Holy Spirit comes alongside us, cleans us up, makes things right again, and satisfies the cravings of our spirit and soul. So for each of us today, I pray I ask, Lord, that you would remind us of this every day, to make room in our life for God, to spend quality time with you and allow you to fill us to overflowing, so that the people we come in contact with each day will be impacted by your Holy Spirit that flows out of us to impact others with the kindness of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the peace of Jesus. Do a work in our lives and through our lives, we pray. And all of God's people together say, amen. Would you stand with us as we close this morning? The band's going to come. We get to celebrate the greatness of God, that he's always enough for us.
You're my reward for living for
all of me for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love.
And all I have in you is more than enough. All I have in you is more than enough.
May God go with us today. He is more than enough. Open your lives, your hearts, your minds, and your spirit to God and allow Him to fill you to overflowing. For His goodness, for our goodness, for His glory, and for the betterment of others. And go in the love of the Lord.
Amen.
And all of you.